Arratsaldeon, muy buenas tardes a todos.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the press conference, which corresponds to the Austrian film The Dead and the Living, which has just been projected for the press in the official section of the San Sebastian Film Festival. In order to present this film, we have the presence of the director and producer, Barbara Albert, the actress, the protagonist, Anna Fischer, the producer of the film, Bruno Wagner, and the publisher, editor of the film, Monica Berry. As they are prepared for any questions you want to ask, so therefore we can start with the press conference. Hi, good afternoon. First of all, congratulations for the film. Slowly but surely it penetrated me and it trapped me and it got me hooked on it slowly but surely. What the impact was of the soundtrack, for example, how the soundtrack accompanies and it gives a continuous rhythm to the film throughout the entire film. And I would like to ask a question. The father of the leading actress, the protagonist, asks, what she's looking for, and then subsequently when she's in Berlin, I don't remember the other, or she says, what are you looking for? Do you want to judge your grandfather? And she answers, no, I just simply want to know what happened. But we all knew what happens, we all know what happened, but if she asked the director, that what is the protagonist, what is the director, sorry, she is asking, when you made the film? That's the question. I'm asking you the same question that the companion asks the protagonist. What are you looking for? Do you want to judge your grandfather? No. And I'm asking you, the director, what are you looking for when you make the film? Because it's quite clear you don't want to judge anyone, the film, but you don't want to know what happened at the same time. I understand is what you want to know. You want to understand why what happened. And is that what you want? Do you want to know why what happened? Is that the reason?
Why it happened? I think I cannot and also didn't want to explain in the movie. I read so much about it, and there are so many good books about it, and I think you can, if you want, try. You can really understand why this happened and how the system worked and how people were brainwashed or how much they were enthusiastic about the national socialistic idea. I wanted to, maybe I made the film also to come to peace in a way with what happened in my own family. And I think this is also what Sita in the end is finding. I think she is able to forgive her father that he didn't tell the truth, that he was lying on her, to her, but she's not in a position to forgive her grandfather. No one can forgive the grandfather, and he, first of all, he has to feel guilty, and as far as he doesn't feel guilty, it's so difficult to deal with it. So this is why it's so difficult for the son to deal with the father's history and the father's guilt, because he never said what he did and he never said I'm guilty. And I wanted to tell about a system, a family system, where something happens in one generation and no one deals with it, and in the end the grandchildren or maybe even the next generation, someone has to deal with it. Someone has to face it. And in the film, Sita really faces it. She wants to see it. And after seeing it, without understanding everything, she can accept it, and she can integrate it, and then she can say, okay, this is my family. I'm aware of it. She's not feeling ashamed anymore, which is important, I think, because now she can live differently than before, I think.
Por favor, siguiente pregunta.
Yes, please, next question. Hi, good afternoon. What I thought was very interesting was the moment in which the boyfriend from Israel reproaches her. I said, well, what do you take me for? Do you think you're going to apply the law of an eye for an eye? Could you please talk about the blame of the German or Austrian society and the demand and the feeling of revenge that doesn't exist sometimes in the people from Israel? Thank you. By the way, you can speak in German if you want. We have translation, just in case you're more comfortable.
There are so many different people also in Israel. I got to know people who were very angry still about what happened, also young people. People my age or younger who were really angry and who were not willing to get to know more about the Germans now. But there were a lot, and most of the people who are really working in a political way in their own country and who are... who have also really, the left or very political people I got to know, they are more interested in how they can deal with their problems now in the country than talking about my grandparents, for instance. I just wanted to say that this is not... it's not the point anymore. It's between the people who have the same generation. And I think, not all of them, but some of them. And I think the ones who talked about their grandparents and who dealt with it, who worked on the subject, who really looked at what happened, and the ones who were not... deal with it. I always say the same thing. But okay, the people who still have to deal with it and who are not in peace, maybe with their own family, then it's difficult, of course. So this is a difficult question because there are so many people so many different people in Austria, in Germany, in Israel. So you cannot say Israelis are like this now and Austrians like this. So.
Siguiente pregunta, por favor.
Sí, hola, buenas tardes.
Yes, good afternoon. Yes, can we hear him? I have a question for the director and for Anna, I think he said, the actress. It's obvious that you wanted to show that we need a generation of grandchildren to do address the issue, but do you really believe that this generation of grandchildren are still interested in the past of their grandfathers, grandparents, this history of their family? Do you think that's real?
My generation has to... responsibility to forgive, and I think my generation, I have the feeling, is a little bit jaded of the topic, and every time and everywhere is we faced with the topic and we switch off, of course, but we have another point of view. We see the world different, and we ask us more: how could that happen, and how it cannot happen again? And we want to understand: why did you do that? Why? And when we know why, then we can prevent that this happens again. And a little bit much, but I hope you understand.
When I started to write, it's already 8 years ago, I started to write the script, and I really, it was the time where really a lot of people I knew, or also people who, writers or also filmmakers, made films or wrote books about this issue. It's this Enkelgeneration, the grandchildren, who for the first time with a distance, more distance than their parent, can look at their grandparents and really say, okay, what happened? I want to see it and I want to face it. So, and there is in Germany and in Austria, there is movement is too much, I think, but there are really there is this generation, these people who want to look at it. I think the, I mean, I made the film or the movie really also for younger people and for a younger audience. That's also why I asked Anna to be the main actress, because I think that she's like the bridge to the younger people for me. Because I think really the next generation, I mean, in this film, it's this trick of having an older father, and so it works. But of course, 20-year-old people now, it's their great-grandparents, and this is far away, so it's not real anymore. And this is also why I wanted to make the film, because people are dying. It's the last chance to see them, to listen to them, to people who were really there. And I mean, I saw and heard and listened to a lot of people from the victim side. It was always very moving and really also very often like a revelation, and I could understand. But I never heard someone saying I was on the other side. Maybe in a documentary film, of course, but never in a feature film taking place now in Germany, in Austria.
Siguiente pregunta, por favor.
Next question, please. Yes. Hi. Good afternoon. Sorry for the question, which is less deep, shall I say. It's a bit more aesthetic, cinematographically speaking. I'm under the impression the last few minutes, or we were under the impression that the last few minutes, when she goes to the photography exhibition and they dance, it ends up too sweet. Wouldn't it have been a bit better to finish the film when she's on the motor, screaming when it's raining on the moped, and screaming for freedom, for example, for her freedom? That ending is perhaps too sweet. I don't know. Were there any doubts as regards to how you wanted to end the film and not? And congratulations, and thank you very much, by the way.
Thank you. Darf ich anfangen? Good. Mm-hmm. I mean, for me, it's, to be honest, also a love film. And this is why I wanted to have them in the end. It's really, for me, it was very important to have this couple in the end. The couple that was so much fighting before, and the couple that maybe doesn't fit together. But still, although they know, maybe they are not, maybe they really don't fit together, but they can accept each other and their cultures and their lives. And so it had to be in the movie. And there was really no other chance. I mean, we did...
Doubts, like, yes, of course. Making films is always full of doubts. the ending, there are quite some endings, and it's always the question. But I think the one thing was also to say, this is a film, this is a journey, the whole film is a journey. And if it wouldn't end in her life, which is her life, which is her young life, it would have been somewhere false, because then it's a question where does it, or for the film, not right. So the decision was to get that she gets a grip back on her own life and live then with all that she explored during the film.
And we tried a lot of endings, and also we cut already really a lot, because I'm known for my too many endings. And so we really tried to cut, and it's for me, it was impossible.
There would be one more ending, if you would like, sir.
Siguiente pregunta.
Yes, next question, please. At the back there, it seems. At the front. What was significant was the moment in which the two granddaughters meet, or people who have been in the concentration camp, and the victim says to the other one, she says, I'm sorry, does there really exist that distinction in the generations, the young generations can distinguish between the grandparents of the victim, the grandchildren of the victims or the non-victims, or is it a bit forced, so to speak? To bring about that shame which may exist still.
I mean, it's a very symbolic scene, of course, I agree. But I know that there are really also in psychotherapy movement, there are now really taking place sessions with grandchildren from both sides. And it's it's really very, very moving for both sides. And so it's all, as I heard about this, I thought, okay, I mean, not only because of this, these therapies, but also really, yeah, I wanted to be symbolic, yes. And it's also, the scene is for me kind of like a key scene, but also in the film kind of different than the rest for me. It's also the light and everything is a little bit different. And this is because I think it's so very difficult to show Auschwitz. And it's so in between total banality and also this picture of the Birkenau. It's actually Birkenau, right? The other camp, and you see this tractor in front of this, and it's so banal, so very banal. It's this banality, and so I thought, okay, that on one hand you have this total banality, so why not having this very symbolic, intense scene between these women who stand for the film and for these both sides. But it is, of course, the only moment where a victim is allowed to say something in the film. That's true. It's very much a film about the other side, yes.
Next question, please. What drew my attention, you used the heart as a driving element throughout the film. Could you explain that about the heart? As her heart and the heart ailments, etc. Yes, I think that's what he means.
Yeah, again, the symbols. You got all the symbols, yeah. The heart. I mean, for me, of course, her heart, in a way, is broken also when she realizes what her grandfather did. So, the heart is not only, it's the weakest part. And so this weak part and this part, she opened it, she opened herself. And she is the only one for a long time in the film who is vulnerable, and who opens up, and this is also why she can feel it in her heart, and and the father, for instance, he had this, he was closed, and he was not opening up, so she had to get this this heart disease. I mean, this is, of course, it's symbolic. It's meant symbolic in a symbolic way. But I think it's also talking about the dramatic point. Of course, she needs to have a breakdown. For me, she needs at one moment, because she's watching this whole video, and it's really hard for her. And then there must be something must happen with her. So and for me, this was the only solution to have her have a total breakdown. And this is the heart, and also, of course, the heart is the connection to the grandmother. And the grandmother who died because of her heart. And this is something which is maybe not strong enough in the film, but for me it was very important also to talk about the women and to talk about the grandmother who was in Auschwitz, who gave birth to two children, who never talked about it afterwards, who died because of it, probably, but all these women who were on the side, who were there, and also who were supporting the man, we never hear about them. So I wanted to give her also a connection to the granddaughter.
Por favor.
Thank you. I was wondering if you could talk a little about the casting, first of all, of Anna, and also of the actor that plays the grandfather. I believe he's a stage actor.
The grandfather, Hans Schuschnigg, he was actually more a director in Romania for many years, and also in Germany when he came there. But he also was acting, but more on stage. But I think he did it in a very natural way. He's originally from Romania, from Siebenbürgen, so this is only because our casting director found him. It was very difficult to find him there, and he has this this typical language. It's very typical. I don't know if you can recognize it, but this is for me very authentic, and so I mean for me he's really very very great. And he unfortunately he wanted to come here and really wanted to be with us, but his health is he's not in a very good condition. Yeah, but yeah, this is about him and about the others. You wanted. Anna, yeah, you, Anna. I saw Anna in a TV movie, I think 5 years ago or something like that already, and I was totally moved by her acting, and so this was the moment when I thought, okay, I was still writing the script, and I thought, okay, she has to be Sita, and then I continued writing, and I always saw Anna in my mind, and we met once, and it took one more year to get the financing, but she stayed on. She was with us the whole time, yeah.
A question. As regards to the title, where they live in the dead and the living in English, why have you taken away the dead in the German title, I think he means, and then also the grandfather? Why have... He could have been dead also, the grandfather, but you've used him living. What role... Well, those last few days that he lives there, what importance does that have within the argument of the film or the plot of the film?
About the dead, yeah, you know, the German language is so heavy, sometimes it's better to take away the dead because they are always around us, especially when you hear die Leben in German, it's you already sense the dead. And the dead and the living is also rhythm-wise, it's more light, which I liked, and also my Versace agent liked it, but die Leben und die Toten is also in German. For me, there were also other films and also songs and so on. And then I was starting to think if it's good. And in the end, I was more happy with die Leben. I really because it opens a space and then and it's you can. Have your own idea about this. It's not closed, you know. It's still open. And about the death of the grandfather. Yeah, I think I wanted him to live longer because my grandfather died before I could ask him about what he did, and I never talked with him about it. And so I thought, and he passed away already 13 years ago. And so maybe this was also a reason to give him life and to have a chance to see this granddaughter with this grandfather with the grandfather together. I think I wanted to see them together alive.
Okay, lo has visto juntos.
You've seen them together, but however, she asked. She doesn't remember anything. There wasn't too much of a dialogue with the grandfather, that is to say, there wasn't a conversation between both of them either, because he was saying he didn't remember anything.
This is the tragedy, that she comes too late. She comes too late. Maybe like I came too late, she cannot ask anymore. But then also the film, for me, it's very much a film about the father and daughter. It turned out that it's more a film about the relationship between father and daughter and this distance between the two of them, because there is this taboo, this not talking about the past of the grandfather. For me, it was stronger that she fights with the father. And if she fights with both, it's too much. So this was probably the reason for it. No.
Siguiente pregunta.
Next question, please. Is there any autobiography, because you're comparing it to your grandfather? Are there any further details that have to do with your life and your grandfather? Are there any further details in the film that are linked to that?
It's like in all my films, there are, of course, details that are autobiographic, but also others. So it's a mix, because I take something out of my life, but then it has to be a story, and of course, and there are characters I never got to know. So yeah, it's a mix of real things or things but it's not one to one. I mean, Sita is my alter ego, but it's not a documentary film. It's not, and also not a, I hope it's also not a psychotherapy. But it's really a character. Of course, she's very close to me, this character, because and it's a very personal story. But and also this, for me, my life, and also my family. For me, this question of guilt and what did my grandparents really do in the past? Of course, this is a question I ask myself. Yes.
Next question, please. No further questions? Yes, it seems there's one more. To talk about what you were just talking about now, and to clear it up, perhaps it's very personal, but I would like to know the biographical detail specifically. What was the role of your grandfather in the war, if you can talk about that, by the way, and if you and her, and whether she you've overcome, just like the character that inherited guilt in your real life as well. Just like the character does in the film, she overcomes that inherited guilt of her grandfather.
A long time I didn't know anything about what he did, and then, like in the film, I got to know, or I was looking for a relative, an uncle who was the black sheep of the family, and I visited him in Italy where he lives, and I could listen to an interview he made with my grandfather. Very long time ago, and there he talks about some things he did, but he never says that he killed someone, for instance. And but still, he was an SS officer, yes.
And to finish, the director, have you managed to overcome that guiltiness? My intuition is yes, because it's been able to make you make this film. But what were the mechanisms that you had to use to overcome that guiltiness of your grandfather, for example?
It's very difficult, because it's not so easy to answer. Also, when I wrote the script, people wanted to know how the main character is developing and how does she feel when she finds out this and that about her grandfather. And it's very complex and very difficult to say in few words, because it's over years. You know, it's maybe the whole life that you know this is your family and you have to deal with it. But what is important for me, I'm not a victim. And it's very important also when I read books from grandchildren, sometimes they talk about their suffering, about the fact that the grandparents were... Tita has perpetrator? Perpetrator. That they were on the wrong side. And this is very important to say. I don't want to say I'm a victim. This is very important, because so I don't suffer. You cannot compare. You can never compare. It's so important to get a clearness about it, and also not to feel ashamed anymore. Because the problem is I think it's really, you feel ashamed, and this shame somehow paralyzes you. And I think, like the character in the film, she's not on her way in the beginning. She's looking around. She's driven by something which she doesn't know. She doesn't have roots, because she doesn't know really where are her roots, where does she come from, because no one talks about it. And this is important, that you accept where you come from. And it's also, I think it's important not to be angry about it because it doesn't help. For me, the film is very much about feeling responsible for also now what's happening in the world now. I think the chance to be the grandchild of someone who was on the very bad side is that you say, I don't want to be on this side, and I should be very much aware of every word I'm saying, everything I'm doing, that I do it differently.
I have a question for Mr. Wagner. As a producer, what attracted you to the story? As a producer, what attracted you to the story? And why did you choose to be part of it?
The Club 99, the film company. I think all together, three directors, one cameraman, and me personally as a, let's say, economical producer. And normally we have the system, if some directors are coming with their stories, we discuss it in the company briefly and long time, and maybe work on the script or not, or decide, yes, we will do that, or we will do this movie not. In for the directors in the company, let's say we have more or less the system of a wild card. So Barbara came with the idea, with the script, years ago at the end. Then, okay, we decided for sure we will make it. We had some reference money in Austria to use for this movie. And then we started to finance this movie. The first we went to Poland, I think. Mm-hmm. They give us, in a very short time, the Polish Film Institute give us the support. Then we tried we found a co-producer in Germany first, tried to go to FFR, but they did not want the script or the system of the movie. And at the end, two and a half years later from the beginning on, we had two TV stations in Germany we found with the commissioning editors Uli Hermann and Georg Steinert from SWR and Arte, and they give us the Spitzenfinanzierung, the last percent of the financing.
But and you can say that it was very difficult to find the money in Germany, and only because of these two TV stations it was possible, but the funds all rejected the project, so it was very, very difficult to get the money. So it was a long travel to have it in the end, yeah.
And the production was more or less not so easy because we had the shooting in four countries, in Austria, Berlin, Warsaw, Auschwitz, Siebenbürgen. I think we prepared it very well from the very beginning on in all the countries, and then we shot it on a row in 8 weeks from country to country. And the last one was then Siebenbürgen at the beginning of December.
Actually, I'm curious, how do you find the American actress? Because actually, I know her, so I was surprised to see her.
Ah, okay. So maybe you also lived in Poland in the 90s when she was there? Because, you know. No, it's Daniela Z. She's actually a friend of a friend of a friend or something like that. And I got to know her years ago and talked with her about Poland, because, I mean, as you know now, I really started to write it, I think, 9 years ago, the story, and I met her 7-8 years ago and told her that I'm working on something that takes place also in Poland, Warsaw, and she lived actually in these kind of squats in Poland, and she speaks also a little bit Polish, and she felt very close to the subject, and I could see that she was really, if I would have done the film then, I think she would have been always with me, please can I do it, but then we lost each other for years, And I was, to be honest, I really wanted to have a star. I really wanted to have someone I like, someone I really always liked in movies. And if I have a chance to work with an American actress, I thought, okay, why not ask? I don't know. In the beginning, I think I wanted Kate Winslet, or I don't know. and then this was the time when the movie was it was much bigger. It was a huge movie because I wrote it. There were parts also taking place in Spain and in Israel. So it was really, so this was also the reason why it took some time to understand, okay, I won't get the money for this script. And so I had to reduce. And in the end, I saw that the character of Silva is not that big anymore, that I can really ask a star. And then it happened that I came back to this Daniela, and she was totally into it from the beginning, and came over for rehearsals, and so she was really very much identifying with the whole story. And she also, her grandparents are like half Russian, Polish, I don't know. She's very, she has a European part in the family, and yeah.
Thank you, congratulations.
Any further questions?
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Gracias a todos.